talking to me, and I was trying to figure out what she needed. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 for our scripture reading this morning. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read the first couple of verses here, and then Pastor Craig will get into Romans chapter 16. He gave me the choice this morning of trying to read the names of the people in chapter 16 and the towns, or reading Philippians, and I thought, you know, I'll give Romans 16 a try, but as I was practicing, here we are in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1, reads, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word that we can have, that we can study. Thank you for the body of Christ, those that are here today, that we can fellowship together with. And Lord, may we have this attitude that your Son, Jesus Christ, had. And that's an attitude of love. May we encourage each other, and may we be encouraged this morning under the teaching of your word, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, as Dave said, we come to a large list of names this morning. And the passage that we find here, the first 16 verses of chapter 16, actually teaches us at least two lessons about the Apostle Paul. Indirectly, if you're there in Romans 16, 1 through 16, and you'd kind of glance down through there and see what's being said about these people, indirectly, it teaches us that Paul was a friend maker. He was a friend maker. He was not a recluse Christian. He did not keep to himself, and nor did he keep his Christian faith to himself. He was out there among the people. He was out there among the lost of the world. If there was an opportunity to be out among the people, if there was an opportunity to minister with or to other people, if there was an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, okay? Paul was there. Paul was there. He made it an effort to become a friend. And I want us to note here that Paul is writing a church. And we've learned this not only at the beginning of the book of Romans, but I believe it was even last week or the week before, we learned that Paul had not even been to Rome to minister yet. Okay, he's talking to a church that he had never been to. Yet in the first 16 verses of chapter 16, he names 26 different people and refers to several other specific people, just not by name. How did he do that? How does he know these people? Well, these are all believers that Paul knew of and befriended in other places than Rome. So indirectly, we learn that Paul was a friend maker everywhere he went. These were people that he met out and about in the rest of the world that are now a core right here in the churches at Rome. He was a friend maker. And just quickly to apply that lesson, we should be too, right? Okay, just wait for somebody else to say it. But anyway, it's pretty obvious. We should be to be a friend maker. And then directly from our passage, and this is really going to be our focus this morning, Paul appreciated his friends. He appreciated his friends. He understood the value of close friends. He understood the value of having people on your team. He appreciated them, and there are a lot of ways to express appreciation. It can be done through words, which we are going to see here this morning. It can be done through actions, and it can even be done through gifts. Janine and I just came back from a fantastic vacation that was an incredible expression of appreciation, a vacation that you gave us. An incredible expression of appreciation. And I think really what made that gift so special is that it was personal. To my knowledge, there were only a couple of you that even knew that we wanted to do something like that someday. And it was a very, very personalized gift of appreciation, and we felt very appreciated. So, again, thank you. I recently read about a restaurant that goes the extra mile to appreciate their customers. As their waiters and waitresses go and take their order, the server makes it a point to observe things about the customer. In fact, they will engage them in conversation and ask them things about themselves, things that interest them, things that don't interest them. And then as they prepare their order, they will attempt to customize their order to the customer. For instance, one fellow came in, he just left a Cubs game, Chicago Cubs. He had his Cubs baseball cap on, and then the waiter engaged him in conversation about the game. And when this customer's dessert came out, it was in the shape of the Cubs logo. Surprise, here it is, just for you. Another fellow who came, he was obviously a Navy SEAL. He was in uniform and everything. His dinner plate was arranged in the emblem of the Navy SEALs, customized just for him. Sometimes they would try to write the customer's name in a special way in their meal or in their dessert or in their salad or something like that. And then to top it off, the server, with every customer, will then handwrite a note of appreciation, incorporating some of the things that they had talked about, incorporating some of those things about the customer. And needless to say, when that customer left, he didn't leave a customer, he left a friend. He left a friend. This restaurant understands the value of friendships. Paul understood the value of friends. And in a similar way, we see Paul showing his appreciation. We see him, first of all, mentioning names. He mentions points of interest. He commended his friends. He recognized their efforts. And then he even expresses his appreciation for them. And it was all in a very personalized handwritten letter right here, immortalized really for all eternity. Now, Paul understood the value of having friends, and he appreciated. Well, so that you and I can duplicate it, Paul expresses his appreciation for Christian friends here in about three different ways. And that's our subject, Paul's appreciation. From Romans 16, 1 through 16, and the very first way that we find that Paul expressed his appreciation for a Christian friend was through commendation. Through commendation, that is personally endorsing that person and their credentials. In fact, let's read verses 1 and 2 and learn about this person. Her name is Phoebe. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Sancrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. And here Paul is personally endorsing Phoebe and really her credentials in being a servant. And he uses his own name, so to speak. He says, I Paul, I commend Phoebe to you. That is a way that we can show our appreciation for friends. Every job that I have ever had, every single job that I have ever had, and every church that I have ever spoken at came because a friend was willing to put their name out on my behalf. They put their name out on my behalf. They put their stamp of approval on me. That's commendation. And of course, we want to make sure that if we're going to commend a friend, they are worthy of what we are commending them for, okay? We don't want to lie. But certainly there are things that we can commend our friends about. Don't lie, and I'm not endorsing that, but I found this, and it was funny, so I thought I'd read it to you. It's job applications that had endorsements from former employees, employers on it, okay? And so it was one boss endorsing an employee for a new job, okay? And they were creative because these employees weren't necessarily worthy of endorsement. Okay, and here's what they said. They basically lied and spoke the truth at the same time. That's impossible, I know, but just listen. One said, "In my opinion, you will be very fortunate to get this person to work for you." Here's another one. "I am pleased to say that this candidate is a former colleague of mine." I am pleased to say that he's former. Okay, got it? All right. Here's another one. "I can assure you that no person would be better for the job." All right, and my favorite. "I would urge you to waste no time in making this candidate an offer of employment." Waste no time in making him an offer. All right, you'll get that one on the way home. All right. Well, there is no wordplay in our passage today. Paul earnestly, honestly, and personally endorsed Phoebe in those things in which she was endorsable. How did he commend her? Well, Paul commended Phoebe, first of all, as a sister. Here Paul is writing the believers in Rome and telling them, Phoebe is our sister. She's one of us. She too has placed the full weight of her trust in Jesus Christ and his payment for sin. She is redeemed by Christ, a child of God, and a sister of you and I. Paul commended her as a sister. Paul commended Phoebe also as a servant. He says that she played an important part at the church in Cenchrea. She was a servant there, filling the needs of that church. How much did Paul appreciate her service there and trust her service? Well, it is actually Phoebe that is delivering this letter to the churches at Rome. This letter right here, this letter to the Romans, the deceivingly delicate hands of this woman are carrying the greatest entreaty of the gospel message that has ever been penned. The greatest argument for salvation through Christ alone, the very words that spawned the Reformation, started countless revivals, inspired hundreds of hymns, and led millions upon millions to the Lord, was now in the hands of Phoebe. Now, I don't know that she nor Paul knew the impact of this letter then, but nonetheless, they knew it was important. They knew it was critical, and that is how much that Paul trusted this servant, this woman. And for that, today, Phoebe's name is eternally etched in God's Word. Here it is, right here, for all eternity. That's how much Paul trusted and commended her service. Paul commended Phoebe also to acceptance. Look at the first part of verse 2. He says, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Now, it was customary at this time to include a reference for the messenger right in the message itself. The message would typically be sealed, okay? And as the recipients read the message and saw that the person delivering it is the one mentioned in the letter, they could know that both the message and the messenger are authentic. And Paul tells them that not only who is supposed to be delivering this message, but he tells them, welcome her. Welcome her with open arms, as all believers should do for one another, in a manner worthy of the saints. So Paul commended Phoebe as a sister, a servant to acceptance, and then Paul commended Phoebe to assistance. Look at the end of verse 2. He says, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Basically, he's telling them, give her whatever she needs, because that is exactly what she has done for others. In fact, that word helper near the end, at least in my translation, end of verse 2, means that she is an assistant. He says, assist this assistant, okay, because she has assisted many. By the way, this is all we know about her. What we have right here in these two verses is all we know in all the Word of God concerning Phoebe. This is the only place in Scripture that we read about her. Phoebe is a sister, a servant, and she was an assistant to many. So Paul commended her. He commended her. Oh, to have a friend like Phoebe in our lives. One that is such a servant, so trustworthy. Oh, to be a friend like Phoebe. Paul expressed his appreciation of this friend through her commendation. And today, again, we have her name etched for all eternity for us to look to and duplicate. The second way that Paul expresses his appreciation for Christian friends is through recognition. Through recognition. And that is publicly encouraging the efforts of our friends. Publicly encouraging the efforts of a friend. When a corporate accountant committed suicide, the company, in complete stress, made a desperate effort to find out why one of their employees would do such a thing. They investigated every reason this might happen, even looking at the books to see if maybe it was guilt. Maybe he was guilty of something. They couldn't find anything until one day they found buried deep in the top drawer of his messy desk a tiny little note that read this. It said, in 30 years, I have never had one word of encouragement. I'm done. I'm done. It has been said of recognition that newborn babies will cry for it and grown men will die for it. And while that is a true statement concerning the natural man, recognition in this life should really not be a pursuit, especially of the new man in Christ. Recognition should not be a pursuit. The new man in Christ should pursue the Lord, His work, okay, His glory. And that is precisely why Paul expresses his appreciation for these friends. He is recognizing them because they did not pursue recognition for themselves, but rather for the glory of the Lord and His kingdom. It's kind of like humility. When you think you have it, you probably don't anymore. Well, when we think we deserve recognition, we probably don't anymore. But Paul is here recognizing these people because they were not pursuing recognition for anyone except Jesus Christ. In fact, in verses 3 through 15, we find 26 names, both men and women, that Paul recognized because their pursuit was the Lord. In fact, I'll just point out quickly, in verse 3, I'm going to attempt to read this in just a minute, okay, and get all these names right. But in verse 3, at the end, it says, workers in Christ Jesus. The end of verse 5, to Christ. The end of verse 7, where we're in Christ before me. The end of verse 8, excuse me, in the Lord. The end of verse 9, or the middle of verse 9, in Christ. Verse 10, middle of it, in Christ. Verse 11, who are in the Lord. Verse 12, labored in the Lord and bore, labored much in the Lord. Verse 13, chosen in the Lord. Okay, this is why Paul is recognizing these people. Let me read to you the whole passage after I get a drink. Beginning with verse 3, Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all of the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who are also in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachus, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Artrobolus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobes, Hermes. Lost my place. And the brethren who are with them. Greet Philogus and Julia, Nerissus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Those were common names back then. Paul would had no trouble. But anyway, Paul is recognizing these friends. Okay, he is recognizing these friends in Christ because Christ is their focus. And that is why he so appreciated them. That is why he is publicly encouraging their efforts. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 16:18, Paul says, such men deserve recognition. Now, I've broken this list down into about five categories of friends that Paul recognizes here. First of all, Paul recognized his sacrificial friends. Paul begins with Priscilla and Aquila. They were a husband and wife, perhaps the two people in this list that Paul knew the best, because they were not only friends, but they were business partners of Paul. The book of Acts tells us that they had a tent-making business together. But here in verse 4, where he says that Priscilla and Aquila risked their own necks for my lives and the lives of the Gentile churches, this is not just a figure of speech. Okay? Paul is saying that they literally put their lives in harm's way for Paul and the church. John 15:13, Jesus says, greater has no one than this, than to lay down, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that is the friendship that Paul had with Priscilla and Aquila. We're not told specifically when or how they did this for Paul. Acts chapter 19 does talk about a riot in Ephesus, in which Paul and other believers' lives were at stake. Well, that is exactly where Priscilla and Aquila were from. In fact, that's where they ministered before they migrated back to Rome. Maybe they had a hand in that rescue. But Paul recognized his sacrificial friends. Paul recognized his special friends. Epaphroditus in verse 5, or Epaphroditus, was the very first convert to Christ in Asia. That's special. There are several in this list that Paul calls countrymen, kinsmen, or relatives. Verses 7 and 11, these could be, but are probably not immediate family, but more likely Jews just like Paul, or perhaps even from the tribe of Benjamin, just like Paul, who had converted to Christ, two of which were in prison with Paul and converts before Paul was. That's special. In verses 8 and 9, we find two friends who were beloved by Paul and dear to him. And then in Rufus, verse 13, it says he was chosen. Well, all believers are chosen in the Lord, but this verse is actually telling us that Rufus was a choice believer. He stood out for Christ. Special also because his mother was like a mother to Paul. Paul recognized his special friends. Paul recognized his striving friends. Colossians 1:29, Paul says, "To this end I also labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily." And in verses 6 and 12, Paul recognizes a few friends who did that too. It says they labored very hard, or labored much for the Lord. Paul recognized those who strived by the Lord's power. And Paul recognized also his seasoned friends, which would include those who risked their lives, those who went to prison with him, but also in verse 10. Apelles had apparently gone through some intense testing and was approved in Christ. He recognized his seasoned friends, and then Paul recognized his secret friends. Not meaning that their friendship was a secret, but rather the fact that Paul knew these people only in varying degrees, but still held them as friends. There are those in this list named that Paul had never met. Certainly there are a number of people named here that Paul had only heard about through correspondence, but he looked forward to meeting them and held them as friends. At the church that I pastored in Nebraska, about once a month we received a letter from a missionary in Texas named Frank Ortega. I got to know Frank and his family through those letters. I learned a lot about the trials that he was going through there in McAllen, Texas. I learned a lot about the victories that his ministry was having. I knew what was going on in his family. And I learned all of this through letters. Well, 2 years ago, Frank was one of our translators on our trip to Peru. And as I met him for the first time, it wasn't a first meeting for me. Frank was already a friend, even though this was my first time ever seeing him. One thing that I did learn new about Frank is he can fall asleep. In fact, I timed him once in 15 seconds. And the reason I timed him is when those 15 seconds are up, he snores like you can't imagine. But I know Frank, okay? I know him now, but I knew him through these letters. And there are those in this list here that Paul had never met before. He only knew them through correspondence. There are those not named but referred to. There are several referred to as simply brother and a sister and the saints. And then there are those house churches that Paul had never been to. Once again, Paul had not yet been to Rome to minister, to preach the gospel. But he knows about these churches and where they are meeting in the households. And he knows about these different individuals. And he held them as friends. Why did he appreciate them? Well, certainly they had probably been praying for one another. They had been corresponding. And he knew them through their letters, just very much like I knew Frank, even though I knew him for years, even though I had never met him face to face until just fairly recently. Paul recognized his secret friends, his seasoned friends, those who were striving, those who were special, those who were sacrificial, and he appreciated them. Recognition is a way that we can express our appreciation for our friends in the Lord. How do we do that? Name them. Name them. Encourage their efforts. Let them know that you are noticing their growth, their ministry. Encourage them. Recognize them publicly, just like Paul did. Paul expressed his appreciation for Christian friends through commendation, recognition, and then lastly this morning, through affection. That is, physically expressing our love for a friend. Look at verse 16. It says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." Physically expressing our love for a friend. Now, more than once, as I have been on the phone with my dad or my mom or other distant relatives, they have told me on the phone, give a hug and a kiss to Janine and the kids for me. Or I have done that. I have asked the person that I was talking to over a distance to hug and kiss a loved one for me. Well, that is exactly what's going on in verse 16. Paul wanted them to greet one another. And that word greet that we've actually read through this entire passage over and over and over again is a generic word meaning to welcome with the arms. Welcome with the arms. And it is a generic word, and it can apply to anything from a salute to an embrace. And while either would be appropriate as Paul honored and appreciated this friends, Paul had something a little more affectionate in mind. Paul wanted them to kiss one another. In Paul's day, a kiss on the cheek was as common as a handshake today. In fact, in many countries, it still is today. And since Paul could not do it personally, he sent them to task on one another. All right, on behalf of the churches he was greeting them from. It was to be, he says, a holy kiss. An appropriate kiss. A pure and appropriate form of affection. Now, I'll just tell you, when it comes to people other than my wife and kids, I am not a hugger, let alone a kisser. All right? But there have been definite times in my life where a handshake just wouldn't cut it among friends. A handshake just would not cut it. It simply could not express the appreciation that I was feeling toward that friend. And that is the kind of appreciation Paul was feeling toward these friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother, a family member, is born for adversity." So when it comes to appreciating our brothers and sisters, when it comes to appreciating our Christian friends, grab their hand, shake it heartily and earnestly, wrap your arm around them, give them an appropriate hug. Or if the mood grabs you and you think it will be well received, that's the important part, go ahead and plant a kiss on their cheek. But express affection for those you appreciate. Paul appreciated his friends through commendation, recognition, and affection. Why? Where did he learn this? Well, obviously from his Lord. From our Lord. Christ expresses commendation. He says he personally endorses us. In John 10:27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." God personally endorses us as His children. Christ expressed recognition. In John 12:26, Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." How? Well, there will come a day when Jesus will publicly encourage his servants, his good servants' efforts, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And of course, Christ expresses affection. He personally expressed his love for his friends. In Romans 5:8, it says that God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And Jesus basically embraced us with his arms, saying, "I love you this much, this much." In our passage today, Paul expresses his appreciation for Christian friends through, again, commendation, recognition, and affection, because his Lord did, and so that we might duplicate it. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father God, Lord, we first and foremost, again, just thank you for your expression of love to us and Christ's expression of love to us, that he would be willing to lay down his life so that we could be with you for eternity, so that we would not be separated from you, so that you could shower your love upon us, not only in this life, but for eternity. And Lord, we do thank you for your Son was willing to do for us. Lord, as well, we thank you just for this passage today in which Paul really lays his heart out for everybody to see and begins naming all of these people at the churches of Rome that were near and dear to him. And it's just very apparent that they were near and dear because he names them. He knows them. Whether he has met them or not, he knows these people. They are on his heart. They are on his mind. And he, through this letter, again, eternally etched for us to see, he names them. And he names his appreciation for them. And Lord, I pray that we might take this and as we see Paul's heart for his friends, that we might have that same heart for ours. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.